I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 28th of April, 2019. I woke yesterday morning to snow, another dump of snow. Not much, mind you, but it's quite interesting to watch the cooling of the planet, as far as I can see it, from my point of view in Northern Ontario. And it's been one heck of a winter, as I've said before, and everyone's certainly suffering through their wallet, never mind anything else, because the wallet itself is going to pay for your fuel and so on. So there you go, that's our, and of course they're going to tell us again that we've had the warmest winter probably since the last 150, maybe 2,000 years, who knows. They've got the habit of just putting their finger in the wind and coming out with these incredible statements, but they're scary statements, you see, because we've got to be terrified and hand all authority over to the specialists, you see. Got to hand it all over to them so they can save you. And I just noticed the other day too, I'm paying taxes with the carbon taxes already in it. And it's a fancy name to it, of course. They don't call it just carbon tax, nice fancy name to it. And it sounds all user-friendly and population-friendly, etc., etc. And yet the whole agenda for the as you know, for the promotion of the big fear-mongering to get the world united under a common enemy, which is ourselves, apparently, is to terrify us, and so we do give our rights up, so that the specialists can, basically, convince us. It doesn't take much, you know, to convince people to do what they want you to do if it's done in the proper way. It's quite easy, actually. It's quite easy. I'll put up to a link to the so-called mentalist or hypnotist, Darren Brown from Britain, who does some really good shows, apparently. He does it, the mass hypnosis, etc., by using techniques with which neuroscientists are well aware of and the behaviorists are well aware of too. And of course, all intelligence agencies are incredibly well aware of, because they're taught how to influence human behavior very quickly. Techniques can be happen very quickly. And when you have people coming in to, say, motivational courses for salesmanship or whatever it happens to be called, they're already giving up their will to an extent, a great extent, for most of them anyway, to whoever's going to be the person that flaps their arms around in front of them and convinces them that they know what they should be doing, etc. You're already giving your will over to basically a hypnotist. It's sad, too, to realize that it is rather easy to encourage people to do what you want them to do. Everybody wants to be part. So once you get a crowd together, pretty well everyone wants to be part of that crowd. In fact, the Delphi techniques users, the ones who use it and push it and promote it, they're taught, the leaders are taught how to get all the group on board with whoever the government wants, even local governments. You can hire them, in fact. And they come in and have a little ad in your paper held in the meetings to be held in local hall, blah, blah, blah. And they go in there and the person's, they're trained to be pleasant, you see, like a good psychopath would be. And some of them are actually psychopaths. And because their job is to lie to you and to get you to agree to something that perhaps you shouldn't agree to. But they make it sound all wonderful. And they have plants in the audience already set up there. And so if someone starts asking awkward questions for them, like, well, you sure this program's going to benefit us? It's maybe going to benefit some corporation instead or something. Immediately, these plants will stand up. Oh, shh, and boo, and make you out to be a troublemaker. These are simple techniques that are awfully effective to sway the rest of the crowd. And before you know it, the crowd will say, yeah, sit down, you know, don't harass this nice man or this nice woman who's telling us what we should be knowing, you see. It's very easy to do. And then you had, in this Brown particular one, this they'll put up, the link anyway, he actually had supposedly hypnotized a few of the people in the room who attended this conference or this lecture on how to basically become robbers, to rob a kind of security van with money in it, with a fake gun. And they follow right through. They pick, I think, three at the end, and they follow through with it too. But you'll see the techniques in a very simplistic form, of course, and of how they go through with it. There's a certain element, of course, of question mark in all of this, because in hypnosis, generally, in hypnosis, those who become hypnotized in a sense want to be, to an extent. There are techniques to prompt you and to motivate you, like I said, in the Delphi technique, by using basic human instincts and behavior, where you all want to conform and be part of a happy little group, you see. And you will call down someone who asks the proper questions that are going to upset the person who's trying to push change. But if it's so simple to create a group like this particular Darren Brown's show did, then you understand that this can be used on a much larger scale, and it is used on a much larger scale through media, and through inserts of the same repetitive little one-liners, basically, generally one-liners, to save the economy, to save the world, to save the ecology, to save, you see. And until you're just, you'll part it in your sleep. And before you know it, you've been conditioned quite easily. Until eventually, it's almost like heresy to go against it. And literally, that's how it's been formed. Well, I don't believe that at all. I don't see that happening. Well, that's heretical. And you're attacked as an heretic by the authorities too, which will back up this, because there's a big world agenda riding on this whole future, this planned future. But again, even in the Darren Brown one, this particular show, he shows you a little sequence where they actually send some of the ones that they're selected for hypnosis and going through with this fake robbery, where they use a Milgram experiment, where the people think they're actually shocking a person in a different room who get answers wrong, and they up the voltage every time there's a wrong answer. And the person who's doing it gives authority to the person in the white coat that tells them, oh, go ahead and flip that switch and up the voltage. And the person will say, but they're getting hurt by this. And as long as someone else in a position of authority takes responsibility, that you'll go through with it. Most folk will go through with it and flip the switch. Even though it goes up to what would really be a deadly voltage, some of them actually go through with this. Just to prove that people will follow orders, because it's a human nature for most people to follow orders from a person in authority who technically will take responsibility, you see. And that's why you find horrific things happening in the world by people who will torture and so on and do all the nasty stuff for governments of all countries, as long as someone else is taking responsibility for it. Mind you, there are psychopaths who like it anyway. And they're also recruited, by the way. Government has a way of sussing out who the psychopaths are, and have tests for it. And some very accurate tests, not just the ones they use in prison for prisoners, but they have ones for the military. And I remember years ago, there was a good documentary put out on the submarine bases in Britain, in Scotland, actually, I think, where they had a journey around the bay, some of these submarines. And they actually asked the commander, really, how did they select the ones, the two guys who have the keys, who insert the keys simultaneously, one has a key each, and they're the guys who set and arm the missiles, the submarine, for use for actual firing. Because you can imagine a lot of folk would crack up with it. They would at last minute. You'd crack, think, my God, you know, I'm going to kill maybe thousands, maybe millions of people by firing these particular atomic weapons. So they have ones picked, and the ones that they say they're very accurate, how they pick them. They pick psychopaths, for those who don't know that. They actually pick psychopaths, and psychopaths, there's different categories of them too. There's lazy psychopaths, there are very ambitious psychopaths, there's all kinds of them. So the ones who are quite content going along with extra privileges and so on, bigger money than average able-bodied seaman would get, and they have more authority than some of the rest of them too. They're quite content, and they'll also give their allegiance to someone who pays them awfully well, much bigger, much better pay rates than seamen. They're quite content with it. They'll do it. They'll follow right through to the end and actually fire a real thing if need be. So they're psychopaths. Most folk live in Disneyland, don't they? We're trained to live in Disneyland, where everything's wonderful and serene at the top, where our masters just weave in and out of this strange, complex system of ruling over us, really, and managing us at the same time. And we are being ruled. That's the difference between a so-called democratic government and a dictatorial government. We're being ruled regardless, because when you have big agendas at work, using techniques, including from school age, getting a type of brainwashing in certain must-be programs, then sure, you're being ruled. You know, that's not democratic involvement, that's rulership. Rulership is very different from democracy. And people forget that too. But we're trained to put this, you know, close our eyes and sit back, and all these better people who come out of better wombs, special wombs, can govern you or manage you all and rule you and take care of all the big problems. And that's how it's done, isn't it? And the real world is vastly different from how we're trained. The ones above you, when you meet some of them, actually, they're very straightforward and within their own groups of what they're going to say. They're not so guarded as, you know, you think they're amongst themselves. But if you think you're one of them too, it can happen as well. But they can be very, very open about the system. And they would laugh at you if you came up with the Disney statements. They literally have no illusions about the world or the positions in the world that they have themselves, and how they help to govern and rule everything unseen by the public, in fact, and even unknown by the public that they even exist. But they certainly are there. And of course, Carol Quigley talked about them. He called them the oligarchy. You find that long before that too, you find that Aldous Huxley called them the same kind of thing, a ruling oligarchy, a dominant minority at the top, a scientific elite ruling on behalf of the dominant minority, and on the way down, a whole different category after category, very much like Plato's Republic to an extent. and how they'd have literally select breeding programs for different ruling classes, including military classes as well. But that exists, it does exist at a high level, and it's been there your whole life. It's been there long before your grandparents were born. We're living through an agenda, as they say. Now, there are some variables in the agenda, like should we go to war with this group physically? Should we go to war with this group economically? Or blah, blah, blah. There's different ways you can achieve your objective, and sometimes they'll choose one over the other. But the goal is always the same. Always the same. I looked, for instance, at there's an article on Syria. I'll put the links up, of course. But the article on Syria was about how it's really in an economic shambles. And it would take about $240 billion, literally, to try and get it back on any sustainable footing again after all these wars that the West's been heavily supporting, along with other countries too. And but yeah, it's economically, don't forget, economics warfare is one of the biggest forms of warfare there is. That's why you put sanctions on people. And warfare itself, real warfare, physical warfare, also demands reconstruction and fixing of infrastructure, etc., etc. So sustained warfare brings it right down. So there are many ways to achieve your objective. And Syria was on the list, of course, that we put out back in the 90s by the PNAC group. And that was General Clark said there was a whole bunch of countries on that list, in fact. Quite a few of them. I've given talks on them years ago. But anyway, you're living through incredible agendas. And many of them you will never understand anyway. It's not meant that you understand them. And, of course, you suffer from the consequences of them, too. But you got to understand who does benefit. Always look who benefits from it all and what's the long-term strategy of all, too. When you go back even to the earlier times, as I've mentioned before, of those who openly talked about world government in the 19th century, and even before, but the 19th century, and far more open about it with revolutionary movements, and of course all the people who backed and helped promote the League of Nations at the end of World War One, and to get that up and running as an embryo of world government, a kind of parliamentary system, very much like you had with Lockley Hall, the poem in Lockley Hall, to do with the Parliament of the World. That was the idea and the hope of many of the intergenerational revolutionaries. We truly are living in quite a system, in fact, when you watch it all materializing through covert actions, but they always achieve their goal eventually, don't they? Today, it's the you'll find like Jack Satali, for instance, a big player, not Jack Satali, but Jack Satali. Jack Satali is more up there amongst the oligarchic helpers at the very top, at the very least. He was called a Sherpa by Mitterrand when he was behind Mitterrand in France. In fact, he literally was the boss, it's said, by many of the folk in France, of about three different presidents, including the present ones, for those who don't know it too. Satali boasts about helping to get Macron in, and Holland before him. And Italy's way up at the United Nations too, and he's got big, intense, massive input with big investments across the world too, for investment companies economically. So he's a big player in all of this. He was in an article a few years ago for other nefarious things from France. A few folk were charged with something. But anyway, I don't know what happened with that thing. I probably got off with it, I bet you, because he had so much clout. But you should look into him and his writings, because he's really quite open about world government. Winners and Losers in the New World Order was, you know, that's one of the subtitles of one of his books in the Millennium, and a follow-up to it, to another book after it too. But he's rather open about the big agenda and how massive corporations that are all running the world now, but in about 2006, I think he said that these massive corporations are a form of world government. They can force governments to go along with them. They've got so much clout, these big corporations. They can blackmail, yeah, these words are actually blackmail, governments of countries and newspapers to go along with what they want them to promote economically and have positive reviews on things they want to have positively reviewed. And he also talked about the technology would help bring in world government as become interfaced across the whole planet, connected together in a sense, and through technology. And will be self-surveilled with surveillance, and will be surveilled as well. Will be surveilled by our own governments, and eventually a world government as well, as more and more power is put into central massive computers for the planet, basically. And it's really all here, isn't it? And he talked about the fact that the economic powers of very, very rich institutions in the hands of the oligarchs would rule the planet in a more efficient way than ever before. And you'll find, as he's, and he's quite right with this, I've noticed it for years, and I've talked about it for years, that governments, when you see governments across the world doing the same things at the same time, passing the same laws at the same time, and even shedding governmental departments to privatize at the same time, then you realize you're already in a form of world government. Of course you are. Of course you are. And he said the same thing in his books and in his statements he's put out in little writings and so on. He's been quite open about the fact that these companies will basically be, you give it, they are a different form of government already. What they want is total surveillance of the society of every single individual from birth to death, and the right to basically alter all their lives by having you move wherever they need you to work, etc. I mean, it's a very cold, mechanistic system. We're all numbers now. We're not people anymore. And if you are people at all, you're into somebodies and nobodies. He calls them winners and losers, but you're somebodies or nobodies. That's simply how it is. It's a true financial capitalist class system with no apologies. That's what it is. And really, it's all here, isn't it? It's all here. When you look at all the things that went on before, through your entire life, in fact, and before you're born, of the massive think tanks with what they've published themselves, and people who participated in these different think tanks who published articles and books over many, many years, and you see it all happening. Maybe 20 years from the time you read the thing, or 30 years sometimes, and you're living through it all, and you realize that what does this mean about democracy? When any force at all, even the passive force who simply, you know, wants a vote on something, is denied that vote to get anything done, then you realize your democracy is a big, big joke. Of course it is. I mentioned before how when you're given a vote for something and it doesn't go along with the big agenda, they simply then ignore it. Like the folk who didn't want super cities, where they amalgamate all the different little cities around a bigger one, like Toronto. And the folk were given the vote by whatever council it was, or Queen's Park maybe for the government of Ontario. But anyway, I don't know which one gave them the vote, but they did vote for it, and people didn't want it. And they voted against it by quite a good margin. But the ones who managed it all, and the authorities said, well, we didn't have to give you the vote anyway, so we're just going to ignore it. That literally was in the newspapers at the time. And you get the Brexit thing from Britain, it's the same thing too. So you don't have really democracy at all. You have lots of agendas that are still underway and have to be fulfilled, some of them. More to come after that as well. And you have your big promotion groups that promote everything. But you don't have a real say in important things that matter to you. In fact, you're distracted by lots of deliberately put out topics and things to distract you forever. Where it's meaningless data, that's all it is. The same photographs with the oohs and ahs and, oh, did you know, look at that, ooh, ah, oh. It's all managed that way for you to distract you. Quite something, eh? So we're living through it, and I'll just touch on some of the things that Brzezinski has said. He was a good promoter of it all because he, again, was way up there at the CFR and Trilateral Commission too, and helped plan the future amongst the big think tanks for the all nations and so-called allied, if we call them allied anymore, or Western side of the world. But he talked about the technotronic era in his book, Between Two Ages. Awfully good book if you want to get into it. And it was written in the 1970s. And in it, in the book, he talked about how the system was and where it was going to be taken. And the technotronic era, where you'd have a controlled society through technology. And he says a technotronic era involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite. You know, the elite is it's on behalf of the dominant minority. These are unrestrained by traditional values. Traditional values, you see. In other words, whatever you think is right and wrong and moral or anything, no, they've got their own version of what's moral for themselves. Soon it will be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and maintain up-to-date complete files containing even the most personal information about the citizen. Now, this is 1970s. when you thought it was all about the Cold War. These files would be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities. The authorities, there you go. Didn't say from government agencies, the authorities, you say. Here's another paragraph that Brzezinski put out on his vision of the future, basically. Another threat less overt, but no less basic, confronts liberal democracy. More directly linked to the impact of technology, it involves a gradual appearance of a more controlled and directed society. That's what we're in right now, is the big chapter of that. It's kicked in big time. Such a society would be dominated by an elite whose claim to political power would rest on allegedly superior scientific know-how. Well, we're getting bombarded with for giving all our rights up right now. Unhindered by restraints of traditional liberal values, this elite would not hesitate to achieve its political ends by using the latest modern techniques of influencing public behaviour and keeping society under close surveillance and control. Under such circumstances, the scientific and technological momentum of the country would not be reversed, but actually feed on the situation it exploits. Well, you tie that in with, again, Jacques Attali, who talked about this elite, and who seemed to be, as far as I can tell, for it. And Cass Sunstein put out his book called Nudge, because he's really into influencing the public by all the psychological techniques possible, by using internet on the public and when in real time as you're watching it. And I've done the talks on it recently, not so long ago, at least with the behavioral insights teams, that all your governments are now using to change your, have you change your opinions on things, and to direct you on what you should be looking at on the internet and so on. You're being nudged all the time. Big money to these, and they're neuroscientists and psychologists and behaviorists that are full-time employment, hundreds of them, in every country, and they literally decide, and they work with the big tech companies to nudge you into looking up what they want you to look at when you punch up certain topics. They want to direct you away from what you maybe heard about or maybe you wanted to look at into something else to change your opinion. Well, Jacques Attali is all for that kind of thing, which is really here in full force today. For instance, I don't have anything set on my computer where they can actually tell me what to go and look at. What they'll say, well, for instance, on your browsers, people who looked at this also looked at that. I don't go for that at all. I know what I'm going to look for in the first place, and nothing's going to sway me for it. That's what you, how you got to do it. Because you will, you'd be diverted so easily. They know your psychology. You've all got your personality profiles. They got it down pat. Instant retrieval for these behavioral insights teams. Instant retrieval. And they know that they can put something in there as you're looking for something, obviously a hobby you're into, or if you're a musician, you're into music, and they'll immediately grab you and off you go. And you, but 2 hours later, you wonder where you went and why you went there. It's quite easy to do it. And just like the, like I said, the Delphi technique of persuasion and getting a, because the government send out these people to, and so did big businesses where they want to come into your little township and say, you know, if we built this here, we could actually improve your economy and we could help you here and help you there and blah, blah, blah. If you only give up a bit of your land and a bit of this and a bit of that, that's how it's done. You see? A bit of your rights, put it that way too. And as I say, they're experts at actually diverting any criticism that anybody comes up and who knows their facts, and they've got plants in the audiences to the Delphi technique, and knowing that the ones in the front row will like this person, this present. It's like a teacher thing, the apple for the teacher types. Oh, shut up and let the man speak, you know, and let this presenter speak. He's nice, I like the man. And that's, and they'll criticize if you stand up with the real facts and say, wait a minute, here's all the other facts you're not talking about here. They use the audience against someone who's got some facts. That's a Delphi technique. Very persuasive, very, very well done, very professional. But using basic human nature and behaviorism. So this is the same kind of thing here. It's all through society today. You've been subject to it your whole life long. If you watch television, you're constantly having your opinions made for you. And it's through emotions. If you get emotion involved in a topic, you've lost the game. Sorry. That's one of the first lessons to teach the people at the top. Get your emotion involved. Once your emotion involved in something, you've lost it all. When reason's out the window, someone's using you. Quite easy to do. Brzezinski let a lot of cats out the bag. We're still, you know, analysing it today, of course. He's one player in it, of course. There's many, many more. He's also said persisting social crisis, the emergence of a charismatic personality, which they're giving you all the time, all these super philanthropist-type characters or the Bill Gates characters. You see, they're created for you. This is a new form of government, if you understand, or governance, as they call it, by using these characters. Who are they? They're businessmen. Heavily funded by us, our tax money, the public-private ventures. So, but they give me, and they write up these great, they make stars out of them, you understand. There's a star-making machine, and they make stars out of these. The first one that came out with John Brockman, but he did it for scientists to make them follow. So you'd follow scientists and start thinking they were some sort of geniuses, so you should follow them and take their opinions on everything. and it works awfully well. So charismatic personality and the exploitation of mass media to obtain public confidence would be the stepping stones to the in the piecemeal transformation of the US into a highly controlled society. Now, years ago I put out links and did some talks on the Rees Commission, the US Congress's Rees Commission, authorized to send Norman Dodd and some other commissioners or congressmen to investigate the tax-free foundations, the big like the Carnegie Ford Institutes and so on, and Rockefeller ones. They fund thousands of NGOs across the world and influence all countries and their politics and direct the world agenda, the planetary world agenda, of course it does. And it was to find out why these rich billionaires, really, that ran things, who set up these foundations, who owned the industry of the US pretty well, and a good part of the world, seemed to be promoting what seemed to be communism. And so they did their inquiries into it, and Dodds talks about it, and he said, I actually put the links up where he has an audio from going back on it, reflecting what he was told by the head of the Ford Foundation at the time. I think it was taken over by maybe the Rockefeller or one of the other ones eventually at that time. Maybe the Ford Foundation, the philanthropic foundation, supposedly. The CEO said, or the head of it said, he said, our job is to literally merge the two systems together, that of communism, the Soviet system, through schooling and so on, and politics with the West, so the two systems would combine. And he was told that quite blatantly and quietly, so much so that it kind of shocked him to realize that this is what they admitted they were working towards, bringing the two systems together. Awfully important, because if you understand that Tony Blair with international socialism, and don't forget what Lenin said, I think it was Lenin said that communism is only socialism in a hurry, you see. The goal is eventually the same. But when you look at the systems that they were pushing for merging the two together, that's pretty well what Carl Quigley talked about too. He said the organization that he was in was pushing the same kind of thing. World governmental systems were being pushed and eventually combined with each other. And that was the goal. Today we call it globalism. It's all the same thing, really. And of course, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, Council of Foreign Relations, was a big part of that, going all the way back to Lord Alfred Milner, when it was simply known as the Milner Group or Milner Eden Kindergarten, where his students were trained to run the British Empire. The US took it over and promoted it through League of Nations and the United Nations, and they set up the World Bank, the IMF, and the Bank for International Settlements. They're all powerful institutions that they help run the world. In fact, they promote a lot of what's happening in the world and pay for it too. At least we pay for it all through our tax money. But very powerful institutions, and they set up the United Nations as well. So, Quigley said that we, meaning the CFR, Royal Institute for International Affairs, he says we're often mistaken for communism. That's why this inquiry was initiated in the first place. And he says we're often mistaken for communism because our goals are very much the same. And that's what it is. That's what we're really in. It's positive freedom and negative freedom. Tony Blair went to his main mentor, is Isaiah Berlin, and he asked him, he says, is it possible to combine, like the percentage-wise, how much positive freedom and negative freedom? And that's what they're talking about. The system you're in today, if you notice, your rights have been stripped away. You're all under something that the revolutions would have been fought over and not so long ago. And that's the elimination of all privacy. That's such a personal, important right, is to have personal privacy, folks. And under the guise, there's always a necessity for terrorism. You see, necessity, they can take everything away from you. And this happened again. And that is the agenda. Because you're now in a system where they'll still tell you you're free. And a lot of folks will still believe in, you know, because you can go out shopping. That's what they say freedom is. But in reality, you've lost so many rights. And you're losing them all the time. And you've been trained to accept it's all quite normal. Look at people around you, how they dish out their names and addresses and all the rest of it to any cashier that asks them to get some points in a card or something, or a slight discount on a product or whatever in stores. They think nothing of it. Well, that's the end of it. When folk don't value their privacy, it's finished, folks. It's really finished. And they're making it impossible for it to even survive in the system now and have any privacy at all. It's to go completely electronic with everything. And a lot of companies won't even accept checks anymore, or they're trying to dissuade you from having checks. You used to get bills at one time, they'd send you the bill and an envelope to send it back with. That was all part of it. That was a part of the little cost, not much at all, because all businesses are supposed to have operating costs. They don't want that anymore. They want pure profit, and they want you to do all the work. You go in the grocery store, you fill up the baskets yourself, you get the things, you take them to the checkout counter, you do the packing in the checking counter. You do it all yourself. You do all the work. And then you have to buy plastic bags if you use plastic bags. So what's the cost of operating in a market? You're just saving stacks and stacks of money to get even more and more profit. There's no such thing as a decent profit. It's just sky's the limit. Pure greed. And it's going to get a lot worse. But right now, as I say, Jack Sertali especially was all for this whole system. I thought it was wonderful. I'm sure he's got lots of investments in it too. But you're looking at a system of total management. Those who are winners, as Sertali calls them, and those who are losers, that's all the rest of you, the bulk of you. That's what he means by this. When you read his writings, that's what he's telling you. It isn't just to do with high-speed internet. No, it's much, much more than that. And as I say, Brzezinski's well aware of it too. Getting back to this merging of the Soviet system and the West, you see. This is what Brzezinski said about the regionalization. They call it regionalization, right? Well, regionalize different places like the European Union, then NAFTA was to unite the whole of the Americas, by the way. I gave the talks now years ago. It wasn't just a free trade thing again any more than the European Union was just about free trade. It's a total amalgamation, and they wanted to even set up a parliament in 2005. That came out on the news in Canada by participants in this get together for the Three Amigos for NAFTA, and they said that they'd even thought about, even discussed casually, possibly set up a parliament in Montreal for the whole of the Americas. But they had a bit of a backlash from the US, so they went back to pretending they're asleep a bit. They don't sleep, folks. It's always been the agenda, very old agenda. The summit of this, the summit of that, the summit of the Americas, etc., etc. Anyway, very old agenda. All the way back again to, as I say, Alfred Milner, and probably before him too. But regionalization, right? So here's Brzezinski. It says, this regionalization is in keeping with the trilateral plan, right? That's what he also was a member of, which calls for a gradual convergence of East and West. See, East and West, getting back Norman Dodd, the Rees Commission, East and West, right? Ultimately leading towards the goal of one world government. This is not conspiracy. Like, I tell you, I mean, look up just world government on Wikipedia, and this thing called Wikipedia, right? Because for years, everybody would laugh at you for just mentioning any of this stuff, because if the mainstream media and the big talking faces are paid big money to stay on, even when they're dying on that chair, to tell you the truth, the most trusted, whatever country you're in, is how they present their news. It's because, again, getting back to the Milgram thing, people in positions of authority, when they say something, you listen. You're trained that way from school onwards. And they'd laugh at you. Oh, ha ha, world government. Oh, ha, crazy conspiracy nuts. And again, that's put out by the authorities and that your governments are involved in creating world government. They ridicule you. That's standard stuff. Standard stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now, even in Wikipedia, this is a big share of scoffing, they've got a bit of a history of it now. Now, it's amazing. You see, that's how folk that laughed at you suddenly accept all. They'll talk about it quite casually, as though they'd always believed and always known it, when it's actually getting spoken about by people in authority. But until it's done in that way, by personal authority, they'll laugh at you. Oh, you're in that case. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, this regionalization is in keeping with the trilateral plan, which calls for a gradual convergence of East and West, ultimately leading towards the goal of one world government. National sovereignty is no longer a viable concept, by Zbigniew Brzezinski. NSA and the whole bit, and he's way up there with all the different military organizations for the US. It wasn't just some casual person who liked to dream a lot and parrot what he dreamt. No, this guy was a planner and a mover and shaker. To resolve conflicts, excessive ambitions, and one's own fears and aspirations must be sacrificed. No kidding, eh? I tell you. And getting back to Brzezinski again, and he was way up there, as I say. I think he was one of the many characters who take that role as national security advisor and so on. But he said, technology will make available to the leaders of major nations techniques for conducting secret warfare, of which only a bare minimum of security forces need be appraised. Techniques of weather modification can be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm. That was 1970s. They already had the technology then. And the whole thing is, never forget that what you're living through right now is like waves coming in and hitting you from that were set long ago. And as they're coming in to hit you, those who make the waves happen are already way ahead with the, not just the planning, but the setting of dates and so on for the waves of the future to come in with certain things to be done the same way. That's how it really works. And when you're alive, you're trained not to see, look ahead to the future waves that are already getting, as I say, managed and getting ready to go down the road. You're meant to think that we're just stumbling along down through time and things just happen by themselves. Nothing is further from the truth. Nothing at all. One thing Karl Marx said that was really, really true is all money and profit really comes from labor. All wealth comes from labor. And we are the masses. Understand, we are the business. And the ones who live off of us live better than us ourselves, you see. Those who manage us and do all the, as we call it, the sums about finances and so on, from the money that we're making, they live better than we'll ever live. We are the business. And when you can make it mandatory that everyone must pay this, must pay that, and etc., that's an incredible power to make sure that you're going to be awfully stinking rich for you and your own down the road, for those at the top, isn't it? And also, too, don't forget the other statement he made, too, which is very true. You think of biowarfare, you think of all the other techniques they can use today, and even silent weapons they can use, like silent weapons for quiet wars or... And things like that. Is in early times, it was easier to control 1 million people than to kill 1 million. Today, it's infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control 1 million. But even at that, though, I think the techniques are so fantastic today of controlling us all. They don't even have to think about just killing us. They can sterilize us quietly. Well, most folk won't complain about it. They'll think it's just... It's odd that how they just accept things like autism suddenly. There's a sudden, it's a normal thing, right? And cancers of all kinds are suddenly normal, and... Because you're told by gen experts what they think is important. If they don't mention this is important, then neither will you. In fact, you'll deny what you see yourself. Because they haven't made a big deal of it on the television, on the news. Now think about it too. You've got the warfare going on, right? The war on terror that's to be here forever now, you see? And I read articles at the time when the ones who came out with it said that. They'll be, get used to it, it's going to be here forever. Here's what Brzezinski said. Persisting social crisis... Well, it's environment, oh, it's the weather, oh, it's this, it's that, oh, it's, you know. And he says, the emergence of a charismatic personality. You're always given the ones that are charismatic today. They're trained just like you train actors or stars, you see. And the exploitation of mass media to obtain public confidence would be the stepping stones in the piecemeal transformation of the United States into a highly controlled society. Well, you're here, folks. You're here. They give you the people to follow. They do. And with politicians, they have no simple slogans, right? That's what they give you. The marketers give you a character, and they give you a fake personality to say, oh, this is his past. No, they give you a fake personality to make you think you know them. This is like a pop star, you know? And then they give them slogans to spout, and their speeches are written for them. That's how simple it is. Tell them what they want to hear. That's it. But getting back to this controlled electronic system, eh? There's not a week goes by that you don't have all the articles on it. It's an electronic privacy information center based in Washington, D.C., filed an amicus brief that makes those allegations in the United States versus Wilson a federal appellate case, it says. It's concerning Google's scanning of billions of personal files for suspected unlawful content at the behest of the federal government. EPIC said in a statement late last month, the U.S. government has increasingly utilized private entities such as Google, Facebook, and Apple to seize user data from cell phones and computers without the need for a warrant. Because these entities don't have to abide by the Fourth Amendment, agencies like the FBI can simply subpoena them for records like email messages en masse. Now, there's nothing new in this article here. I can remember reading articles years ago on the same thing. Because, of course, that's what's going to be used for. Right? And often they didn't have to even subpoena them. They could just ask them. And I can remember there was somebody way up at Google years ago on television, many years ago, saying that, oh, yeah, it's routine just to hand them over if they want this and want that, you know. So I'll put that up too, because it ties in with the Teletronic era, right? And Amazon's Alexa reviewers reportedly have access to customer home addresses. It's reported Amazon has thousands of employees listening to conversations that users have with the company's voice assistant, Alexa. As it turns out, some of those employees may have access to more than just audio recordings. Some members of the Alexa running team have access to location data, including the latitude and longitude of users, according to a report from Bloomberg. Of course they do. You're in the continuous surveillance system. That's the Technotronic era. You're here. You're here, yeah. And then now there's cameras going to be put up now that can guess your age and sex and a lot more to it as well. And I'll put that up as well. We buy our spies, don't we? They should give us it all for free. But if you give us for free, we'd be like the Soviets, used to be very suspicious. You wouldn't trust them. But you make you buy them. You say, well, I chose to buy this. It's my personal this. It's my personal that. You know, personal computer. Remember that one? Personal computer. The whole planet's looking at whatever you're doing. It's your personal computer. Good marketing, though. And then also, how they're pushing drones, these small drones with cameras, they're across the country now. And they always put out these little PR pieces, they've helped catch so many criminals by using these tools and so on, and all that nonsense. It's like the cameras in Britain. There's more stabbings and slaughterings every day there, and robberies, and they can't help, they can't even go after the people who, they can't even find the people who are doing it, all these cameras, eh? It's not there for what they tell you it's there for. Also, sound cannons to disperse crowds. It says here that it feels like your head's going to pop. That's what they say when you get these sound cannons aimed at you. They give you an example, LRAD, to try and disperse a crowd. In Phoenix, of course, it was apparently when approval to purchase two of the same type of LRADs used in Pittsburgh, it says here. Anyway, I'll put these articles up. Another one, too. Police across the country are adding sonic weapons to their crowd control arsenal. Then, a little study, too. It doesn't really matter because facts don't matter when it comes to agendas. But electric vehicles emit more CO2 than diesel ones, German study shows, linked to the production of batteries. And the German energy mix, in which coal still plays an important role, are taken into consideration. Electric vehicles emit 11% to 20% more than their diesel counterparts. That's quite a jump, 11 to 28% more than their diesel counterparts, according to a study presented at the Info Institute in Munich. So they talk about how much stuff is released in the making of even just the batteries alone. And another thing, too, is Julian Assange. Of course, as you all know, you're hit with these spells, big spells. I mean, 9/11 was a big spell. Everybody looked at the towers, and a spell was cast over the world, as it was intended to do, you know. You saw the shock and awe that they used in the Middle East as well. Very important, and you can actually take it further with the shock and awe. But they actually used weaponry, some of the advanced weaponry, on the soldiers in Iraq, for instance. It was admitted in newspapers at the time where they had used ELF weapons, and they're all stunned, all these troops just walking towards the, giving themselves up. They were in utter shock, really. Very stunned and confused. It was in the papers in Britain at the time. As you live through this big, big agenda. But the whole thing with Julian Assange was a shock to the world, to make sure that y'all get the message that the old idea of having an internet where you could see what you wanted is over. It's really over. Especially if you're going to dig into anything that's going to upset or annoy the policymakers. And the mind managers, that I call them, because these behavioral insights teams, there's many different levels of them, and they give you what you're supposed to think about and topics you're supposed to think about, and they'll even give the media topics of trivia to dish out there too. You don't understand how your thoughts are totally controlled and given to you and managed. Jax E. Lull, the other Jax, was more explicit in how it's done and how you're always given your opinions by expert techniques. And they guide you. You just follow them as you talk, isn't it? Just like Darren Brown, you're guided to the conclusions he wants you to have. It's very simple. Very simple and very effective techniques. It doesn't dawn on you they're getting lied to and coerced and manipulated, does it? It doesn't really. And people will actually fight you if you showed them how they're led to their conclusions. They get angry, furious. They think they're in charge of themselves. It's very disturbing to have it pointed out and proven to you that you're not. So I'll put up an article on Assange as the... It's really for the public, to scare the public even more. Say, oh, you better shut up and behave yourself. And blah, 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 you know, that's how it's done. And all media, too. All the media is compliant with all of this. Because they all know, all the journalists know what to say, what not to say. Now, they don't want to lose their jobs. And they can give you opinions and stuff. You don't get news anymore, you get opinion pieces, which are generally pretty safe, you know, on different things. You see, the age of being told things that should concern us, so we would at least have a pretense of democracy and complain, are gone. You won't be told about anything until it's actually happened and laws have been passed and new subsections of subsection so-and-so have been added to. They're even bored telling you now. That is the new governance, you see. That's what they mean by it. So I'll put up UN expert warn Assange arrest exposes him to risk of serious human rights violation. Another one, too, is to do with, this is an interesting one, the Home Office investigate, this is Britain, it's investigate over student visa cheat claims. Quite interesting, actually. But it's nothing new in it. I've seen it in different countries myself. But since the government, the British government, is being investigated over its decision to cancel 36,000 student visas due to accusations of cheating on English language tests. The Home Office has also deported more than 1,000 people after its own probe into exam fraud began in 2014. Australia's got the same problem. Suspending watchdog, the National Audit Office, said the Home Office's response would be reviewed after its decisions came under public scrutiny. And it says here, the Home Office revoked the student visas where there was evidence of cheating, but decisions have come under new public and parliamentary scrutiny. It says here, the cheating scandal came to light in an undercover BBC Panorama investigation into fraud at two centres administering the mandatory language tests for students, you see. The then government-approved test of English for international communication involves a written and oral section and a separate multiple-choice question paper. Following the report, Theresa May, then Home Secretary, said the evidence was very shocking. It says, as a result, the Home Office ordered the US firm providing the exams education testing service to check more than 58,000 tests taken between 2011 and 2014. It said voice recognition software suggested that proxy test takers were used in more than 30,000 cases. This is a common thing. That there's people from the Far East, for instance, who get licenses and so on in Canada that haven't even arrived here yet. For driving, for instance. So the proxy folk take their tests for them and so on. That was even for years ago that was happening here. But now you've got students doing it. I'm sure the students have been doing this for a long, long time. And other ones stand in and do their tests for them. And the voice recognition software is picking it up that it's not the people who are taking the tests that are actually, who have actually taken the test. It's other people standing in for them. It said technology extracts biometric features from an individual's speech to create a voice print, the vocal equivalent of a fingerprint. It's all been done in all of us too. It's when we phone someone. They're all kept and analysed and they've got your voice prints. So anywhere across the world that you go to phone and use any phone, doesn't matter, they can in pretty well instantly can tell who it is and where you're calling from, but definitely who you are. And then you have Microsoft employees question if diversity is important and slam the tech giant's discriminatory hiring against Asian and white men on an internal online messaging board meant for communicating with CEO Satya Nadella. So folk who work in Microsoft are questioning this policy, and some of the things put on the board, in the employees board, were by women who worked there, talking about it's mainly Asian and white men who are being discriminated against. And the women who complained and put the complaints that are being hammered too by other ones, because it is the agenda to hammer men in the first place, I suppose. And you understand, things are allowed. They're not just allowed, they're being promoted to discriminate, you know, and that is the agenda, of course. You can't have selective discrimination. It's no different than saying that certain folk are allowed to hate others, but not the rest of them. You see, it's the same thing. You've got to have equality means equality, folks. It really does. You can't have this sort of thing going on. Of course you can. These two posts have been heavily argued were written by a female Microsoft program manager. One of the posts questioned Microsoft's push to hire more women and minorities, arguing that it discriminates against white and Asian men. And there's a backlash against this person that complained. It's just astonishing. Everybody's in their camp now. They've all been trained through university and college into a camp. And they don't even know that themselves. How they're getting used. Also, this article ties in with something I've been thinking about for a while, actually. But it says National Health Service doctor in Britain and a UK pharmacist who became Nazi-style torturers for ISIS. Team of vile medics took organs from prisoners and gave them to wounded terrorists. So they went over to work with ISIS from Britain. I guess they were educated in Britain too. And it says, when he was a doctor, he left behind his wife and two children in Sheffield and travelled to Syria. And he's appointed the terror group's health minister for ISIS, the government believes. And another one is still hiding out in Baghouz. But anyway, they both worked together and took organs out and sold other organs too, naturally. There's something for you. It tells you a lot. You don't know how great it is in a country that has some civilization and rights for people. We're losing it all, but rights for people. You never think of doing that in your own countries where you've got law and order. As the universities are churning out, as I say, massive armies to destroy your system, where do you want to go to? Because when you look at what you have in peace, to an extent, well, some countries are going down the tubes fast, like Britain, with stabbings every day. and incredible organized crime too in Britain now. But then when you go into the countries where folk are literally selling organs, killing folk and selling organs, and then using other organs that we take out of prisoners and put them in other prisoners' cells just to terrorize them. Just the organs, you put the organs in like a heart nurse cell or whatever, you know. And they ran a 10-man medical team, I tell you. And they also did chemical tests on prisoners for poisons and stuff about them. There you go. There you go. When life becomes so cheap, folks, you know, you're as well as going off. If you can be a hermit somewhere, go and do it. When life becomes that cheap, because living amongst people won't even be tolerable. Maybe very short, too. And a Canadian watchdog finds last year's Cambridge Analytica data harvesting scandal broke its privacy laws, so they're going after it again from Canada's side. So, again, this is all part of the new system of hyper-surveillance, as Jack Satali called it. And they've all been trained that it's quite normal. A lot of youngsters are getting so trained in it from school and from growing up in it. They do think it's normal. Another thing, too, to do with the super cities that they talked about with the big, you literally have the elimination of nation states. And Talley talked about that, too, quite openly. He said they're obsolete, actually. But, and then you'd have these super cities, like the defense think tanks for Britain have. I've published them before, I put them up before when they published them to the public. You can get a hold of those things. Interesting to see what they see for the future from the military think tank point of view. And they do publish, at least they have a public version. I'm sure there's a private version too. But Silicon Valley could be the second richest country in the world, which would mean it would have to be a massive city state, you know. And it tells you how wealthy that whole area is, basically. And how it's just behind oil producing Qatar, etc. And they could call it the Republic of Silicon Valley. Interesting, eh? Another one too. Again, I'll put up the article to do with Syria and how they've destroyed the economy and everything through massive war. Which is, I guess, it's job done, eh? They can use economics too, along with forcing them to fight and forcing them to defend themselves and forcing, etc. until they're destitute, which of course is what Brzezinski and Kissinger said they'd love it to be eventually. It's just Stone Age, just like Iraq and all the rest, these liberated countries. Ex-Google manager Tristan Harris says tech giants are downgrading humanity. Established the Center for Humane Technology after leaving Google to push his time well spent mantra. He says basically that it's really serious, we're not fooling around, and that we're raised a generation of people with short attention spans, outrage-fueled dialogue, and smartphone addiction and vanity. Well, that's the narcissistic system. They said they'd bring in actually long ago, long before you were given the computer. They had the computer, but you weren't. And they said they'd bring in a narcissistic society as part of the phase. And here we are. And he says, it's overwhelming who we are and our identities. That's what's doing, it's overwhelming us. Harris said, he says, we've been upgrading machines, we have been downgrading our humanity. No kidding. But again, that was what was to be done. And Julian Huxley mentioned that, they've taken Knockman off his pedestal. And of course, that's when they brought in the horrible art. Anything with beauty had to be destroyed in your culture. And even music was downgraded into basically a slide until you hit the bottom. And here we are. There you go. All happens because it's planned that way. That's the reason why it happens. And technology campaigners offer a plan to fight human downgrading. It'll be interesting to see where that goes, because I can't see it. Is it a big agenda? And they never give up power over the people now. You know, we are, as I say, we are just like the Matrix said, we're energy units. Just compare that with Marx again, right? Back to Marx. And all wealth comes from the labor, the people. We are the business. The people are the business. Same thing. Doesn't happen by itself. It planned long ago. Yeah? And just to get back to how they've destroyed nation after nation by war had many, many side effects, and all planned in advance, of course. But it is interesting to see. I mean, Britain now had an article in the paper where a gang, organized crime, with those terrible mopeds. They're not mopeds. These are not mopeds. Moped has pedals as well as a motor. A little 50cc. These are 500cc machines. They're not mopeds. And these are the ones where the guys steal the cell phones from passers-bys and so on. And by the way, they actually got a van as well, a big truck, and probably stole that too, and smashed it into a jewelry store in England. And left it in there so they could get past the truck into the store. You see, smashed right through it. And the guys with their bikes, their motorbikes basically, their little scooters, we used to call them, made off with over a million and a half pounds or something worth of stuff. All well organized. And they haven't caught any yet. probably won't, actually. That's Britain. But that's law. It's just a mess now. And folk are terrified in the big cities because all the stabbings and machetes and stuff. And anyway, they've also got, it says the UK is the EU, the European Union's gonorrhea hotspot. Britain is to blame for 55% of cases, with 49,000 Britons diagnosed with STI, sexually transmitted infections. He's got diseases because it's sounding more ominous, but just now since infection. In 2017, as experts warn, dating apps are behind a spike across the continent. Dating apps, no kidding you. Wow. So it rose to almost 90,000 in 1 year, I guess. And now 20.2 cases of gonorrhea per 100,000 people in the EU. And it's a bigger story, of course, but mind you, a lot of it's not reported too. You get non-specific urethritis and not everybody will report it too. In fact, a lot of different doctors now for different groups will keep it all quiet, you know, for different groups and to be very careful about it too. So yeah, Britain's definitely up there with a lot of mess. That's just the one thing. They have all kinds of diseases too to do with sex, of course. But that it shows you that Britain truly is the F word, right? Yeah, finished, that's what I was going to say. And that's how it goes. That's how it goes. Anyway, I've prattled on too long tonight, as always. And it's been a bit round the pond, you might say. Not just straight from here to there. It's just that the major thing is, I've always stressed that whatever happens today was planned long ago on any big scale. Number two, there's lots of agencies running your lives to make you what you think is you. And you truly are a product, to a great extent, with far less control over what comes into your mind and becomes an opinion. You have far less control than you think about it. It's consistent every day. And on the internet now, which is a massive tool, with, again, behavioral insights teams and thousands of behaviorists and neuroscientists working with all the agencies that work on you to make you into what they want you to be. It's just astonishing how it's all done so perfectly. But again, I'll put up that little link to Darren Brown's show on how to create basically a gang or a hit squad or whatever it happens to be, or a robber squad or criminals quite easily in no time at all. And it's a microcosm of how it really was happening on a much larger scale on a daily basis by techniques that you don't even you're not even aware are getting used on you. It's very sad, you know. Even in a con, when you're being conned by a confidence trickster, you have to participate in your own delusion of what you're going to get out of it. Oh, you're going to, if you put money into that, my God, yeah, you're going to win $1 million. Really? Oh, yes, you are, etc. You know, it's something like that. And you have to participate, but the techniques are used on us all, to con us all. We're generally unaware they're even happening to us at the time. When you see how many folk now automatically fill every survey out that's given to them, even through the internet, just automatically, without a thought. Their likes and dislikes, that's how they've already admitted they can tell so much about you. And then if you didn't like something, and your ex might be all did, what will it show them about you? And how can they work on you to modify you into the behavior that they want you to have? You see, that should take note of all these things. It's all automatic. There's not a person just sitting watching you. This is done automatically by massive computer systems on all of us, all the time. This is a technotronic society. We're in it. And as I say, like Bertrand Russell said a long time ago, you'll keep saying that you're free because your government will tell you you're the best in the world. As you have institutions all set up using massive NGO armies, making them radicals to destroy the safeties that you have in your own country, like I mentioned earlier. You better start thinking about this and deciding what is valuable in your own society and try to reclaim what you've lost. Because if you don't reclaim it, you won't have anything left to hold on to shortly. And that's true. Because big, big agendas are set forth for all of us, all across the whole planet. And again, getting back to Jack Satali, who was really in there with the big banking boys. He knew them all. He even wrote a book on the Warburgs and praised them for creating modern finance to an extent, investing in banking. And he said that the future would be run by massive international bankers. Economics would rule us all. Anyway, from myself, Alan Watt from Ontario, Canada, we're I don't think winter's finished yet, because of global warming. It's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.